Good morning, Open Door. Y'all please stand with us. We open up with our first worship song this morning. So glad to have you guys here today. What a wonderful Father's Day. Amen. So be sure to call your dad, hug your dad. We appreciate all the dads that are here taking care of their families and doing what they need to do, being godly men, and I appreciate that. We all bow your heads as we open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, for this Father's Day. I thank you for the father you've given me and the example that you have been of a Heavenly Father to all of us, God. I thank you and I praise you for it. And I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who you sent to die for our sins, God, that could redeem us back to you. And Lord, I pray that your anointing of the Holy Spirit will be upon Richie this morning as he brings the word that you have for us, God. And I pray that your anointing will be on this worship service as well, God. Open our hearts and our minds, God, and help us just as we stand here. We want to just worship you, God. We don't want to sing songs. We want to worship you this morning. And I thank you for it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So y'all may have a seat for a moment.
Happy Father's Day. And I would like to invite all the fathers who are here. After service, if you go out into the foyer, there will be some candy out there for you so that you can go out and get yourself a candy bar. And thank you to the youth who will be helping to hand out the candy. Over the next 4 Sundays, we'll collect donations to support the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association Summer Legacy Offering. This offering honors those faithful Southern Baptists who have served sacrificially in the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association, leaving a legacy of faith and service for those attending the 20 churches within the association. This year, the offering honors the memory of Pastor Ron McCoy, and some of us know who Ron McCoy was. He was pastor at Cameron Baptist Church, director of missions for the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association, and president of the West Virginia Convention of Southern Baptists. This offering will go to support the ministry of the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association, which exists to serve, supply, and strengthen local churches in cooperative fulfillment of Christ's Great Commission, found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I will give details about the various ministries of the association over the next few weeks. Open Door's goal for this offering is $2,000. If you would like to give today, please write Legacy on your envelope, which can be found in the back of the pew in front of you. If you are watching online or listening by radio, you may write a check to Open Door Baptist Church and write Legacy on the notation line and either drop off or mail your check to the church. Or you may click the Add Donation link on the giving page on Open Door's website and give in that way. Please pray and give as the Lord directs you. Please also pray for the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association and for the 20 churches that the association serves. And now we'll watch a short video about Pastor Ron McCoy and about the Summer Legacy Offering. Thank you.
Through the years, we've had many people come and go in our lives. And during that time, some of those people have made a lasting impression that affect our lives and the trajectory of what we do. And some of those people leave behind a legacy that we want to honor because of who they are and what they've strived to do during their lives. And in our case, what people have done to leave behind a legacy that honors the Lord. This year, we seek to honor a former director of missions.
When he spoke, people listened. He showed me that trusting in Christ, that anything is possible.
He was one of those guys that just knew how to pray and love and care about somebody.
President of the West Virginia Convention of Southern Baptists.
And it was just interesting to see him kind of take control of the room, because there were, 30 people in there, and he was sitting up front. He was in control.
He never hesitated in asking and telling people about Jesus.
Just how much of a unifier he was and how much guys really rallied around him.
A wonderful husband, father, and grandfather, and pastor of one of our churches. Pastor Ron McCoy.
He was a great guy. And one of the things I could say about Ron was his service. You know, Ron was diagnosed with cancer, and he was dying. And Ron never stopped for a second. He was still serving God clear to the very, very end of his life. And I think that's what God calls us all to do, isn't it? So before I continue on, there's one more announcement I have to make. We all turn your attention this way. And Helen Cohen has turned 90 years old. Right. Happy birthday, Helen. Let's all sing happy birthday to Helen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Helen. Happy birthday to you.
All right, would y'all please stand as we continue with worship this morning.
Thank you.
I love the line in this song, "I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend." Amen. Amen. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen. Amen. thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness,
much that you are faithful, that we can rely on you, that we can trust in you, that we don't have to worry about what else is going on. God, I pray that we can set aside the chaos of the world for a few minutes. That we can set aside all the crazy things going on out there, between our work lives, our home lives, that we can just take these few minutes to worship you with everything we have. God, as we come before your throne, I pray that your Holy Spirit rains down on this place today. Lord, that your word be known. That these aren't my words, but that they're your words. God, I just ask that you be glorified through what we have today. Lord, let us take these few minutes. Let us just be one with you. God, it's in your great name we pray. Good morning, Open Door. Happy Father's Day to everybody. It has been a very, very busy week. So this crazy thing happened this week. There were some giant inflatables outside. There's some popcorn occasionally. There's some Kona ice. I think we did something called Vacation Bible School. On Friday night, it was a blast. And if you missed it, you missed probably one of the funnest things we do all year long. But that's okay, because we just did a small version this year. Very small. So if you missed out on the last week, don't be too discouraged, because next year we have Vacation Bible School again. And right now is a great time to start praying for and about Vacation Bible School. Because we need to start praying for the students who are going to be here next year. And we need to pray for the teachers who are going to be teaching those students. That may be some of you. That may be some of the students you have that you're teaching now. That could be, who knows? Which is why we need to pray for those people. If you missed out on VBS, I'm sorry. You missed a good time. Be here next year. But because of that, I think most of us, especially those of us who've been serving in VBS this week, are probably a little tired. If you've noticed, I'm up here this morning instead of Pastor Larry. That's because Pastor Larry's out fishing. He sent me a picture of him, actually he sent me a picture of John, currently, it looked like sleeping. If you're watching or listening, John and Larry, I don't know who's doing what right now, but I currently have the record being said that it's 1-1 in terms of fish. So church, we need to keep on praying for Pastor Larry, because John, no offense, we're rooting for Pastor Larry here. So we want Pastor Larry to win this competition that's been ongoing. Let's keep on praying for him. Church, today though, I want to talk about Father's Day. Actually, I think that the Legacy Mission Offering video kind of took a little bit of what I wanted to talk about today, as ironic as it is. I started looking up what Father's Day meant and what Father's Day is, and started getting some really great ideas on what to talk about. And I threw away a lot of those because, truthfully, if I let a bunch of the teenagers and children come up to the stage and talk to you all about fathers, that could have gotten really strange on live stream, you know, Facebook. So I figured better just take some random quotes that I found on the internet instead. Young boy claimed that Father's Day is the same thing as Mother's Day, except you don't have to spend as much money. I gotta be honest, at least for my life, we were in Disney on Mother's Day, we're here on Father's Day, I'm feeling like that's a pretty accurate statement. Just saying. But fathers, thanks, Dad. Church, with fathers in mind, I realize that I'm very blessed, as I'm sure many of you are. See, I have had a lot of men in my life who have stood in and taught me and trained me and teached me. Not really on the English side of things. Thankfully, none of them were English professors, because they'd be rolling right now. In my youth years, I had a gentleman by the name of Rob, who, he was one of our youth leaders. He took me under his wing, and he spent a lot of time with me. And this was during a time where my dad wasn't around, okay? He was there showing me the ropes. Sometimes that was video games. Sometimes that was going out shooting. Sometimes that was just going and having lunch. The amount of times we'd go out to between McDonald's and Jack in the Box and all these great places that we got to go at the time are countless. But he really put a focus in my heart and in my mind of what someone, a man of God, should be doing. See, because he wasn't there to get anything off of me. He wasn't going to really gain anything from this 15, 16, 17-year-old kid. He was not benefiting in any way, shape, or form. But he was interested in investing in me. And he spent a lot of time with me. And I realized that's a blessing that I had. But I still have that today. Rob's not with me here because he's still in Arizona, but there's a lot of men in this church to the point that I don't have time to name every single one of you out there who have stood around, who have challenged and pushed and encouraged and been beside me as a leader. Church, having men who will stand up and do that is a blessing we should be very thankful for. So I want to talk about what the Bible says about men. I want to look at some of the men in the Bible and say some of the fathers in the Bible and see what kind of legacy they left. But as I do that, I want you to continue to pray for the men who've left a legacy in your life. I want to talk about two specifics, but I want to think about this for a second here. When you think about fathers in the Bible, there's a couple different names that usually come to mind. Adam, right? He was really kind of known in the beginning. Kind of, you know, no big deal, right? Just the first guy, no big deal. Then you got Noah, who kind of gets known for his ark, you know. Never mind some of the things he did after the ark, but mostly known for his ark. You got Abraham, who really kind of gets known for being willing to sacrifice his son. You get Jacob, who's known for founding the 12 tribes of Israel. You get Moses, who's known for leading his people out of Egypt. You have King David, who's known for defeating the giant Goliath, amongst many other things. You have Zechariah, who's known for going mute. And you have Joseph, who is known as the earthly father of Christ. And though these are just a few examples of fathers in the Bible, they all left a legacy behind. We know them for the stories that we've read of them. We're known for the great thing. They're known for these great things, some of them that they've done, for the faithfulness that they've had, for the experiences that they trained and taught. If you have your text, if you have your Bible with you, open up to Genesis chapter 22. I want to compare and look at two of these men today. We're going to open up to Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to look right at verse 1, where it starts off like this. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, saying, he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son to whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up, saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here and with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He built his son Isaac, bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy." He said, "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld me from me, your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there is a thicket. He saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." To this day it is said that on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. Make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants. They set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. This father was willing to sacrifice his son because it's what he was told to do. He took his son with him with no intention, no backup plan, no contingency plan. He knew that this is what the Lord had told him. Today's day and age, most people look down at us when we bring our children to church. Some people may not realize that, but the truth is, church, people look down on you because we bring our kids here. That's the world we live in. That's the culture we live in at this point. It doesn't take the same amount of courage that it takes to be ready to sacrifice your child. But I'm going to tell you, church, that that is coming in the future. The way the world is judging us, the way the world is looking down on us, is only going to get worse. But Abraham was ready. He knew that God would provide. He trusted God with everything. Still in your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, we get to see another father. Again, this is Luke chapter 1. This is verses 5 through 25. It says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah." Forgive my mispronunciations. I know I'm terrible at that. "His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as the priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you about this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak. Then he realized he had seen a vision. They had realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Two very different circumstances, two very different lives, two different men. And yet they both taught us incredible lessons. Each one of these men led a very different life, but the legacy they leave behind for their children, for the futures, for us, that's what's important. I have a video I want to share, if I get lucky and the computers work, because it's been one of those days with computers.
You have everything, right?
Yeah, Dad, I got everything. I got the stove, the sleeping bag, the liners, the matches, and the cooler.
Clean underwear?
Yeah, when Jenny packed the girls' bags, I'm sure she packed the girls' clean underwear.
No, I mean for you.
Yeah, it's in here somewhere.
Because if you forgot, you
Dad,
know.
Dad, I didn't forget them.
If not, you just flip them inside out. You'll be fine. Hey, now remember, the s'mores. You want to make sure you get the chocolate.
I know, Dad. I need to melt the chocolate before I add the marshmallows. That way, it all melts smoothly.
Yeah. Taking both girls camping. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I mean, it was one thing taking you and your brothers, but girls. Wow, that's a whole different ball game.
I can do it.
No doubt. No doubt. Hey, son.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Have a great weekend. Make some good memories with those fine girls of yours. It's a privilege being a dad. You get to show them God's big old world, probably some stuff they've never seen this weekend. Just remind them who made it. Have fun with them. Laugh a lot. You were always such a serious little guy. Hey, I love you, boy.
I love you too.
Who are you talking to?
Nobody.
Hey!
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready, Daddy!
Right.
You're really gonna do this, aren't you? Why don't you just take her to the mall? Maybe ride a carousel, watch a movie.
I got this, trust me.
At least let me take this one.
Are you kidding me? She looks like me and has your personality. She's the life of the party. Why would I do that?
You pack clean underwear?
Why does everybody keep asking me about that?
Here's your dad panties.
It's called underwear.
Why don't you let me go with you?
No.
I think your dad would be proud of you, even though there are much easier ways to celebrate Father's Day.
Maybe. But you know what? It's what we do, me and my dad. It's our thing.
I know.
Sometimes we have different memories. We have different things that stick in our head, right? There's different stories or tales. There's those different memories that really kind of get stuck there, right? Whether it's the flipping your underwear inside out to make them last longer, or whether it's that sandwich or that meal or those trips that you always used to do. Sometimes it's the things you say and how you train your kids. Church, while it's Father's Day, and I wanted to share some Father's Day love to you guys, I want to remind everyone that a legacy, which is what I want to share and talk about most of all today, is for everyone. See, we all have a legacy that we're going to leave behind, that we're going to live behind us. People are going to see us and think, that was so-and-so. Mike brought up Ron McCoy, and we talk about the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association's summer legacy offering. And the truth is, Ron was something else. He was such an awesome guy, and you're right. He never let the sickness get him down. Sometimes I get caught up in the chaos of life just like anybody else, but sometimes I take a few minutes and want to step back and go, what will be the legacy that I have? Will I be known for being a great Office Depot manager? Prayerfully not. I pray that I'm known for much more than that. I'm praying for that. I'm known for the life I live with my children, my wife, the students that I've taught over the years. So I want to share a couple things about legacy. See, legacy is powerful. Legacy, specifically, is the love. It's the lessons taught. See, legacy is literally the lessons. It's about the lessons taught. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, see, here's the thing. When you have any type of relationship with anyone, whether it's a friend, a family member, a child, a offspring, a student, you teach lessons in life. Sometimes those are quite literally, as a teacher, teaching lessons. And sometimes they're just watching as you live life. Sometimes the people around you see what you go through and think, that's difficult. I'm glad I'm not going through that. But sometimes they can be there for you. Psalms 78:4 says, "We will not hide them from their descendants. You shall not bow down before them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing Sorry, that's a mixed text there. We will not hide from them, from their descendants. There we go. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord and his power and the wonders he has done. Here's the thing. The lessons we teach in church, from the pulpit, from the classroom, they're going to go on for generations. It's not done. It's not done when Joe Buchanan left. It wasn't done when Pastor Hayes left. It won't be gone when Pastor Larry leaves. And it won't be gone when the next couple pastors down the line leave either. When Pastor Larry stopped teaching the youth, we didn't just quit. It kept going. We're not going to hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders done. In Joshua 4:21 and 22, it says this. It says, he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Psalm 145:4 says, one generation commends your work to another and tells of your mighty acts. Church, we're called to teach, train. Whether you are a teacher or a trainer or not, we're called to teach others. I realize not everybody feels like they are gifted or understand Scripture. Not everybody can be Zeke. Not everybody can get up behind the pulpit and stand and preach or teach. But we are called to read our word. We're called to share that with others. We're called to continue to share with the next generation what the Word of God says. Legacy is also about love shown. See, in Deuteronomy 6, 5, and 7 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Ephesians 6, 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Church, legacy is about leading. By example, by presence. Philippians 4, 9 says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Exodus 25 and 6, you shall not bow down to them, worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations to those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Legacy is left by everyone. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things we have done while in the body, whether good or bad. Church, we will leave behind a legacy. one way or the other, good or bad, there will be a legacy that we leave behind. And I have to share with you, church, more experienced church members. I know it's the nicer way of saying it, but those of you in the church who are a little bit more in years, the younger people are watching you. Hey, youth, the children are watching you. It's a cycle. We're all watching one another to see how we respond and how we do things. When it comes to legacy, though, the question is, what will your legacy be? Church, I know my heart. I know what I'm seeking. I know that when I close out every night with my family, that they know we're going to pray and sing, that we want to come to the Lord. That's just what we do. But I know my children are going to remember that. I know that because there's a legacy of family members who've done that in Cynthia's life. Those little things that seem like they may not mean a lot, those conversations you have with small children mean a lot. My kids still talk about on Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning, how Randy takes a few minutes to talk with them every Sunday morning. Lana asks about what Randy is going to ask her about this time. And then she asks why Randy asks me every week if I'm going to work Jesus into my sermons. But that's a whole other part of that question. Church, I have been blessed by many of you. And I know there are others in the room that feel the same. Church, this week as we go out and we celebrate our fathers, as we get back into our everyday weeks, think about what your legacy is going to be. Will your kids, will they remember you as the grumpy person? Will they remember you for all of the peanut butter and jelly you made them? For the toast that you made? Or are they going to remember you for the great life that you lived? Serving the Lord, training them and teaching them. Church, legacy is about our lessons. It's about love, and it's about leading. So what will your legacy be? I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask the praise band to come back up. God, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for, most of all, for dying on the cross for us. God, I don't know what you have for us this year, this week, this month, but I know you've called us to live a legacy. God, I pray that our legacies point towards you. God, it's in your great name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chief.
Of course.
Will you all please stand as we sing, and the altar is open if anybody has anything they would like to pray. Pray about, Rich, you'll be up here to pray with you if you would like as well.